Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Can Congress make a deal on the 2018 Farm Bill, or will partisanship derail the efforts? The 2018 Farm Bill legislation makes its debut in the U.S. House of Representatives this week. Yesterday, we spoke with Congresswoman Kristi Noem in Washington for a look at the details.
Well, the Farm Bill is our safety net for agriculture. So what it does is provide programs that make sure if we have a disaster situation that our farmers and ranchers will have a safety net to fall back on. So it includes crop insurance, and preserving that is incredibly important. It also includes livestock disaster programs, which are continued in this new bill that we're working on as well. We introduced some provisions that would reform some of these programs, but not really completely overhaul them, which I think most people recognized that the last Farm Bill we did was good, and it gave us the tools that we needed in agriculture to really continue to provide affordable and safe food supply for the country and for the world. But what we needed was to make small changes to bills. And so people really wanted to see an expansion of conservation programs, an expansion of making sure that there was accountability as well, and that some of these programs were workable as far as if you have a wetland on your land, how you get a determination on that. How do you keep CRP rental rates from raising cash rent rates and things like that. So not big overhauls to programs, more tweaks to make them work even better out there across the country.
Will you explain to me this notion of county yield data versus crop insurance data? I don't understand what that means.
Well, a lot of times county yield data that's been used to prove how many bushels are grown per acre is reported voluntarily. And so therefore it's not real accountable, and sometimes it's not even very accurate. So one of the changes that's being proposed is to use RMA data, which is Risk Management Agency data, which is what crop insurance uses to pay out losses. And that's much more accurate because it's mandatory that the producer report it, and we know that we're dealing with facts then. So making that change is something that a lot of producers have been asking for because they want it to be accurate. So much of their future and livelihood in a disaster situation rely on having good data, and this will give us a much more stable foundation to get that data from.
You said that farmers have approached you with concerns about an administration that they have supported when we address sort of trade and tariff conversations. As you look at Farm Bill legislation, how many of those comments are coming into your office from farmers and producers in the state that are somehow tied to the anxiety over what's ahead regarding tariffs and a potential trade war?
Yeah, I think almost every producer out there in South Dakota right now is concerned about the tariffs just because they've seen their markets react so dramatically from the potential tariffs that President Trump is looking at and that China is bringing back as a countermeasure against agriculture products. So they're very concerned about that. There's no policy in the Farm Bill really that would impact that kind of decision or that would insulate farmers and ranchers from any kind of tariff war or trade war. That's a separate argument, but for them, it's building upon the fact that they're saying, we got all kinds of volatility right now with trade and with tariffs and discussion. Make sure that we have good safety nets and good programs that'll still be there, which is exactly what the Farm Bill does. So I think most of them are really paying attention to the discussion around the programs in the Farm Bill, making sure that we get it right, because as much certainty as we can give them, they will benefit from, because so much of what's going on in agriculture with, poor yields in some areas, we've had droughts, we've had a lot of snow, now we're going to get a lot of crops planted late. They've just got a lot of uncertainty right now. If we can give them some predictability in their programs that they participate in, they'd really appreciate it.
Tell me, if you will, a little bit about rural development and incentives for broadband development and the role of that in the Farm Bill.
Well, this is a big priority for me because we have a tough time getting broadband development in rural areas of the country, and we just don't have a lot of dollars to invest, but then also with low populations, you're just going to see the costs go up per individual. So we have some provisions in this Farm Bill that enhance incentives for rural broadband and development, some participation with federal programs and local, private entities and local governments that allows some opportunities to partner to get that broadband development out there. It's one of the things I talk about extensively, because if we're going to have some stability in our economy in the state, even our smallest towns need the internet. They need access to the internet in order to recruit businesses that do business globally and hire people locally. And that's true for agriculture too. Every farmer and rancher out there needs to access data on the internet to make good decisions to run their operations. So if we can get rural broadband development there, that's going to help them be better managers and make better decisions to keep them around for the long haul.
Much of this bill is bipartisan. Some of it, from where we're sitting, looks like it's taking on partisan flavor. When it comes to broadband development, is that a partisan or bipartisan issue in the conversations that you've had?
No, I think it's a very bipartisan issue. The problem gets to be many times is where people want dollars to be spent. You know, the farm bill, usually we don't have extra money to plug into it, so there people are advocating for more dollars to either go into crop insurance or more dollars to go into conservation programs. And then when you have something like rural broadband development incentives in the package, you want to make sure that there's just going to be dollars plugged into that so it truly is effective. So I think everybody can link arms across the aisle in supporting it. It's just making sure that it is included and that it's at a dollar amount that really can make a difference.
House Democrats are not exactly linking arms over proposed changes to the SNAP program. Tell me what exactly would change and why is it such an issue for Democrats?
Well, I think because there's some changes to the food stamp provision that's proposed by the chairman, Conaway, chairman of the Ag Committee, that would tie some work requirements and work training to those that have an opportunity to participate in the program. So what he wants to do is put training and education to help people find employment if they are on the food stamp program. And it would be for able-bodied individuals that would help eventually lift them out of a situation and out of poverty to where they would no longer need the program. And that has become partisan, I think, because typically Democrats on the committee aren't supportive of making any changes whatsoever to the food stamp program. And it's going to take a lot of discussion to make sure that everybody fully understands the changes that are being made to show that it would be beneficial for those families in the long run.
What do you think is misunderstood right now?
Well, I think that the flexibility that the chairman is trying to propose to the states, so that it's not mandated within the bill how these work training opportunities come to individuals, that the state could make decisions on how to incorporate a program that would give that person who came in needing food stamps and needing some resources to how it would participate with getting it tied to an employer or to a technical school that would run an apprenticeship program to get them trained to fill one of the jobs in the area. That's one of the things that we struggle with in South Dakota is a workforce, people to fill the thousands of empty jobs that we have. And if we could help as a state to facilitate the connection of individuals who aren't in a good paying job or they've got a low wage, tie them to an opportunity to get a skill that they could fill one of those jobs that pay $20, $22, $25 an hour and get them into a situation where they are able to do a better job providing for their family, it really is a win-win. And I think that really is something that I didn't understand until I visited extensively with the chairman about the provisions, just how flexible he's wanting to make this change so that the states could make it work for them to meet their workforce needs and take care of those families that are on food stamps today.
So help me understand how this would work in South Dakota. So a family who's already working but still qualifies for the SNAP program or food stamps would then have an incentive to get training for a higher job? Or what does that look like on the ground in South Dakota?
Yeah, absolutely. It would make a connection between that individual where they'd have a conversation with individuals in the state that would get them connected to an opportunity to be trained or get a skill to fill one of the jobs that needs to be filled in the area. So they could be welders, HVAC workers, electricians, whatever it might be. That state, in every single state, might choose to do it differently, run their program in a way that would tie them to an opportunity to raise their wage so that they would no longer need to be on food stamps, but that they also would have an opportunity to better care for their family. And I think that is what we face a lot of times in South Dakota. We have some people that aren't working at all, but we got a lot of people that are working Some are working very low-paying jobs that just aren't meeting their needs, and that's why it has to have that kind of flexibility built in.
Does South Dakota have adequate funding then to provide that training, or would you see some efforts would need to be made within the state to sort of...
I think the state is already... the state is already administering a lot of this, and so just the conversations and the tying to businesses could be incorporated easily. And anybody who would leave the program, the food stamp program, would be only because they would obtain employment that would get them income so they wouldn't be eligible, or if they would just choose not to work or to participate in a training program for at least 20 hours a week. So, it certainly takes into account those who have young children in the home or don't have the ability to work or have a disability, things like that, too. It gives them, the exception that they don't need to be held to these requirements as well.
Are you optimistic that this is not a deal breaker and that you can cross the aisle and Speaker Paul Ryan, with not running for reelection, can help get the votes to get this passed?
You know, I'm not sure how it will go. This bill will get marked up in committee within the next week or two, and then I think based on how those conversations go and amendments that come in the committee process, when the bill comes out of committee, we'll make an impact on how well it will do on the floor. The chairman has indicated to me that he's had many conversations with members on the committees from the Democratic Party that do think it could be workable. That all just kind of translates, though, into how they vote. They don't, just because they have had good, positive conversations doesn't mean at the end of the day that they're going to support it. So my main concern has always been about making sure that we're accountable to taxpayers, that we are helping people that are in difficult situations, but that we're not perpetuating poverty, which is really what a lot of our welfare programs do today, is we help people going through a tough time, but we don't necessarily give them the tools that they need to get into a better situation. And this could be one of those avenues that we need to take to help that individual really turn their life around and get into a position where their family could do a lot better. And then this farm bill has to absolutely provide a safety net for our farmers and ranchers. Most people are surprised when I talk about the fact that the Farm Bill has food stamps in it, because when they think about a Farm Bill, they think about farm programs. They don't think about a food program like that. So for us, it is making sure that all of it's a priority and that we do it in the best, most responsible way possible.